Hi, I'm Lauren Sherman, the host of Fashion People. I love fashion, obviously, but shopping for fashion online is kind of annoying. There's endless scrolling, my size is always out of stock, and I can't actually find what I want. No one has really made this work for me. That is until List. Instead of browsing different stores one by one, on List you can see and shop all of the best fashion. List is the secret shopping weapon now used by all my most stylish, cool, and in-the-know friends. Don't shop around. Join 200 million fashion shoppers, including me, on list.com. That's L-Y-S-T. Or download the List app on the App Store today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s. And each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show. It's the Search Update.
That's right, the Search Update. We do that at the top of every hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., the latest on the search for what is now the most important decision for the Houston Texans. And now, Clint, they have their pick of the litter. Why? Because they are now the only team to have an opening at head coach in the NFL. Seven started, and the Texans are the only one of the 32 teams that doesn't have a head coach, because they're expected to hear that the Philadelphia Eagles will hire Nick Sirianni, the Colts offensive coordinator, to be their next head coach. So that leaves Eric Bieniemy. That leaves Jim Caldwell, Marvin Lewis, Joe Brady, Matt Eberflus, everybody on the table for the Texans.
Yeah, you look, and that's why, because I'll be honest with you, Nick Sirianni comes completely off the radar.
Never called of the coaching.
And I don't know what he has or he hasn't done. But it does come as a surprise hire if they do indeed make that official. But the reason that matters to fans here in Houston is it's very simple. He's not a candidate that's on the Houston Texans radar. And you look at where the Texans sit right now. Our guy OG Lopez, he said they're the first to fire, last to hire, and I'm okay with that. Haste makes waste, baby. Be patient. Sift through the weeds, find the right guy, and hire that guy. And where the Texans sit right now, I would like to look back on all the hires and say, man, I wish they would have entertained Robert Saleh, or I wish they would have entertained X, Y, and Z a little bit more thoroughly than they did. But ultimately, where the Texans sit right now is they sit as the only NFL franchise with a head coach opening, and there's more than enough qualified head coach candidates that are in the pool that they've been linked to. I'm an Eric Bieniemy guy. I think Eric Bieniemy is the right guy. So the more patient they are, the more they wait this thing out, the better it is, in my opinion. But you look, Matt Eberflus is on the streets right now. Not on the streets, but Indianapolis has lost out of the playoffs.
Hireable, yes.
He's hireable right now. You could announce that you're hiring him right now. He could accept right this minute, and they haven't done it. It tells me that this head coach vacancy is down to two head coach candidates, Eric Bieniemy and Leslie Frazier. Those two coaches are still very qualified candidates, and they're still in the playoffs right now. They can't be hired right now. There's no reason for the Texans to announce it right now. I believe that this head coach search is down to those two guys. But nonetheless, even if I'm dead ass wrong, there's still several candidates out there. It's no longer a fight, you know, for two or three teams for one. It's one head coach vacancy, multiple candidates. The Texans have put themselves in a position. Now, they may have ended up in a position. I don't know what they did to put themselves here, but they ended up in a position. They ended up in a position, show, where it's going to be hard to screw this thing up.
No, it feels like when you just read the situation, they haven't interviewed. It's Thursday now. They haven't interviewed anybody since Monday. They interviewed four that day. It feels like it's got to be somebody who is still coaching right now. Because if it were David Culley, why would they not? Well, first off, why would it be? No offense, Dave. But why would they hire? Why would they not just announce it? If it were Matt Eberflus, why would they not just announce it? Leslie Frazier and Eric Bieniemy face off on Sunday in the AFC Championship game. If you're not interviewing any new candidates, because even the candidates they interviewed before Nick Caserio was the GM, they haven't re-interviewed.
Yeah,
that to me it does. I think scream their guy is still attached to a team, and that's why maybe they haven't been able to announce it.
It's the only thing that makes sense at this point in time. I mean, and clearly they can't announce it. They could always, I guess, leak it, kind of like the Indianapolis Colts did with Josh McDaniels, and you risk Josh McDaniels embarrassing the organization and going back to where he came from, which, again, when you're flirting with candidates that are with organizations that are making runs deep in the playoffs, I do think that's a fear at this point is, do either of the candidates look up and go, man, I got a pretty damn good thing going with these two organizations. I got a chance to win a Super Bowl sooner rather than later with Buffalo or Kansas City. Do I really want to jump ship to Houston and make that money? The money's obviously there. The money, it would be a good reason to jump. But there's always a risk of guys like Josh McDaniel of saying, hey, man, I'm going to go back to New England and be the offensive coordinator instead of taking that Indianapolis Colts head coaching job. So to keep from that kind of embarrassment with the Texans, I don't see any reason why you should even leak who your candidate is or who you've offered.
You would hope they've had some indication.
Sure.
You would hope.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the show with the biggest stories of the day. It's the Big 3 at 3, number one.
All right, if you missed it, we interviewed Patty Smith of the Houston Sports Authority, and she unveiled the latest class, the fourth class of inductees going into the Houston Sports Hall of Fame. And they are, Clint, it's a hell of a class. Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, Andre Johnson, who's been spread noise here lately, Guy Lewis, a former head coach of the Houston Cougars, there with the five Slam-a-Jamma teams with Clyde Drexler and Akeem Olajuwon. What'd I do?
You know what the hell you did.
You had to have done that on purpose.
There's no question. You know what you did.
What I did.
I can tell
by the Houston Cougars.
I can tell by that mess-eating grin on your face. You know what the hell you did.
The Houston Cougars, baby.
And then Bill Yeoman, who also was the head coach for the Houston Cougars football team in the 60s to the 80s. I mean, this is a hell of a class.
Yeah, no, look, it's a hell of a class. It's unfortunate that we're not going to get to do the show from the banquet that Patty Smith puts together, because it's big time, man. You got to see that as soon as you possibly can. And it's unfortunate that I'm not going to go get to sit in the audience and watch Jeff Bagwell, Craig Biggio, and Andre Johnson, Guy V. Lewis, and Bill Yeoman walk across the stage and accept the award. But nonetheless, I salute you guys. Congratulations to this 2021 class.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Great class, and hope the event goes great.
Big 3 at 3, number two.
All right, big news today. John McClain, he had set this on the air within the loop with Landry and Lopez. He referenced an article from Aaron Wilson in the Houston Chronicle in which Aaron Wilson said McNair has apologized privately to Deshaun Watson while publicly acknowledging the need for better communication. That is a huge, huge step to us. We've discussed this. Amy Trask, the former CEO of the Raiders, she was on with Payne and Pendergast earlier this week and said this has to be the first step. And if this is the first step that Cal McNair is making, this at least shows signs that he is interested in going about things the right way with trying to fix things with Deshaun Watson.
Yeah, look, I think it's the one step that was left for Cal McNair to make. I mean, I think it was the one thing that should have been on the top of his list of things to do with this organization ASAP and not wait until, you know, March or April or down the road because there happens to be a couple of months before the next game's played. I think righting the ship with Deshaun Watson from the top is what was important, and there's no doubt about it that I think that Cal McNair needed to just step out of his comfort zone and speak to Deshaun Watson and apologize for how things got sideways with him and the organization and Deshaun Watson. And then once that's done, hey, he steps back in the background. Now, I did mention earlier that he steps back into that owner role and – and he doesn't meddle in business too much. But the one thing about Kyle McNair is he's the guy that's got to keep Jack Easterby in check to some degree, right?
He's the only one that I believe can.
Yeah, he's got to be the guy that makes sure that there's a clearly defined role between him and Nick Caserio, that there's a clearly defined role for Jack Easterby. And I think it's very important moving forward that Kyle McNair and Nick Caserio make sure that Jack Easterby is not on the sidelines and is not interacting with the coaches and the players at practice and on game day and things of that nature. I think you know, those are things that we'll see how those guys handle it moving forward. I do think that's important, but big time news today that McNair has obviously, according to Aaron Wilson, apologized to Deshaun Watson.
Man, you got to have it, man. Now just go ahead and finish it off and just hire Eric Bieniemy. How about you do that? How about you really keep things going and just do that?
Big 3-3. Number 3.
All right, the Astros, they continue to add to this team. A former Astro, many of you remember Jason Castro. He signs a new 2-year deal with the Astros, $7 million total with that deal. It gives them two veteran catchers with the machete, Maldonado. They gives him and I'm sure he'll be the starter. Two really good defensive catchers as well with Castro. And he's also had always a little pop in his bat. So another good signing. It seems like as we continue to see with Brantley coming back and them making the deal for that I think the Astros are serious this year about trying to really strengthen their team to make a run in the AL West.
Yeah, I don't know why they wouldn't be. I mean, I would imagine that they're gonna push to be the favorite in the division to start the season, and that's without Springer, that's without Verlander. Either way it goes, I think the thought moving forward is expectations are really high in Houston, and James Click and Jim Crane, they got to do everything they can to shore up the pitching staff, both the starting rotation and the pen, hell, and the closer, and give this team a chance to win ball games. Because you and I talked about it last year. They were one game away from the World Series, and you know they had a losing record in the regular season, in a shortened COVID-19 regular season. But going into that, we had these conversations. When you got that kind of lineup, you don't need the pitching to be great. You don't need the pitching to be great night in, night out. They can win ball games, and I don't think that's changed. I think you still got a nasty lineup. You've got some young up-and-coming superstars in the rotation that if they continue to build on what they did last year, you know, you think those guys can win some ball games.
No, yeah. So yeah, good moves continuing to add to this roster. Jason Castro, former Astro, reunites back with the team. John McClain dropped some nuggets today, and he continued with this. He said something today that I think really made us think about how the Texans would potentially handle Deshaun Watson if they're put in a certain situation. We'll discuss what that is coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
In the Loop, they had their conversation with John McClain, who will be on with us tomorrow, and I can't wait to get it in with John McClain. But he said something when he was talking to Landry and Lopez about, you know, the big thing about Deshaun, potentially, you know, the trades and all those conversations. And he started talking about something that he wouldn't be surprised to hear, and it got me to thinking.
Several reasons. Number one, they won't trade him. He hasn't said he wanted to be traded. I keep expecting at some point his agent to link to the national media. He wants to be traded.
So that's John McClain, Clint, saying he keeps expecting that his agent, someone from his camp, will actually leak out the words, Deshaun wants to be traded. Very similar to James Harden when it came out that James Harden wants to be traded and he wants to go to Brooklyn and Philly. If let's say hypothetically, Clint, in Houston, you can listen to 713-572-4610, text and call and whatever. Clint, if you were the Texans and it came to you, Deshaun Watson, all right, he's actually used the words, it is coming from his camp, I want to be traded. I want to be traded. Not anymore of,
the threat of trade. I'm unhappy, all this. I want to be traded. Right now, January 21st, what is the move that you would make? What would be your next move if you're the Houston Texans?
I think you're already preparing for that if you're the Houston Texans.
So you've already gotten ready for that. Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, you can't get caught with your pants down. I mean, ultimately, you've got to be ready if anything like this were to drop. If Deshaun drops a bomb, you can't get caught with your pants down. I mean, this is – if Deshaun forces the issue, this is Jimmy Johnson, Jerry Jones, Herschel Walker caliber trade. I mean, this is a trade that people will talk about for years and years and years. That's the kind of haul that we're talking about the Texans would get in return if they are forced into a position where they have to trade Deshaun Watson. They have to absolutely prepare for this to be a reality, because I've said this from the jump. I think Deshaun Watson is dead serious about if dominoes fall a certain way, he's going to attempt to force his way out of Houston. Now that they're still in a position where they can avoid it, but I've been of the belief from the jump that he's going to force his way out of Houston if the dominoes don't fall in a way of which he can see himself staying here and winning championships. And so they have to absolutely prepare for this reality. Here's the deal: is where do you start with negotiations? Right? They've got to have that idea in place right now.
And you say that should be established already, at least. Like, all right, if he's serious, if this comes out, I know I got these three teams that I've already.
Well, you just I think you start first and foremost with where do the negotiations start? How much draft capital do you need in return? Is it 5 first round picks? Is it 4 first round picks?
And that's not crazy to add.
No, obviously. Well, I mean, I think only a fool wouldn't start the negotiation at 5 first round picks. Be happy if you land on 4 first round picks. And if they add a star in the mix, you take 3 first and a superstar. I mean, those are things that you got to at least get the parameters in place of if this does hit us in the face, where do we start negotiations? And where do we start with how much draft capital do we need? And then you move to what teams out there have enough draft capital to trade? How many teams out there have the draft position this year? The only thing you know, the for sure, which is this year, where do you draw that line? Do teams outside the top 5 have zero interest to you because you're not gonna swap with Carolina and pick 8th, right?
Yeah.
Is it top 3, right? So that you narrow the list of teams that you're willing to negotiate with down to teams that I would say are in the top 5 draft picks this year, and then I would even go further and say, which teams do you think it's going to take a long time before they recover from the dysfunction that they're in, because they're picking early because they're not very good, and try to, even though it's, I mean, you're not going to get it right all the time, but you try to say, okay, is this an organization that's going to live in dysfunction for the next 3 years? So all these draft picks are going to be really early draft picks. So you dwindle it down from, okay, what kind of draft capital do we want in return? What teams have that kind of draft capital? So what teams can we entertain? And then, given the structure of the contract, you got to look at it and say, okay, what teams will Deshaun Watson consider? He's got the no trade clause that actually, a lot of people out there think that means they can't trade him. Really, that gives him leverage to turn down any trade, so you can't trade him to Washington if he doesn't want to go there. He can always veto the trade and say, no thanks, I'm out. So he actually has leverage with that particular piece of the contract. I think this is something – these are all very broad brush conversations that you hope the Houston Texans have had behind closed doors at this point. You hope that Cal McNair, Jack Easterby, and Nick Caserio have sat down and said, guys, what if, right? What if the worst case scenario, what if this happens, who are we calling? You don't want Deshaun Watson to dig his heels in so deep, and the day that he announces, hey, I'm out, y'all do something with me, that be the first phone call that you make, or that be the first conversation that you've had about what you would take in return. That would be something that I would think would be a damn mess storm immediately, and you want to have your stuff together when it hits.
As we're talking here, as John McClain earlier on In the Loop said, he keeps waiting to hear from Deshaun's agent or somewhere from his camp that Deshaun wants to be traded, that actually being used. And I'm just thinking, what would you do if you're the Texans? What would be the next move? And 713-572-4610, a lot of people are coming in. If he wants out of here, I don't want anybody who doesn't want to be here. I'll find a way to get the best deal. For me, Clint, I'm fighting that puppy. I'm giving myself up to, if it's right now to January, I'm giving myself to the draft, at least a week or two out for the draft, to try to fight like hell to make this work.
Oh, you give it down to the last minute, show. I mean, that's the deadline, right? I mean, you've got until then to really figure this thing out. And I agree. I think you fight tooth and nail to get the guy back in the boat. But I agree wholeheartedly with the texter. If a guy doesn't want to be here, it does not matter how talented he is. If he doesn't want to be here, you can't win with him. You can't build around him. You can't start your coaching career with him. You can't get out of dysfunction with him. I don't care how talented. Hell, he proved that this year. He was as good as anybody in the league this year playing the quarterback position. He won four games, right? Imagine if he were the type of player or ever gets to a mental spot where he's like, man, screw y'all. We're out of the playoff contention. I ain't playing. I'm not going to go out there and risk my health, right? I'm not saying that Deshaun would ever become that guy, but you don't want to move forward with a disgruntled player that's disgruntled to the point where he don't want no parts of being in the organization. If it gets to that point, I'm with that caller. You got to make a move.
Now, I agree with you, and I know this is a point you've made. It would be hard now because I think the Texans brass, Cal McNair and company, would think about doing this. I don't agree with the point of, if he don't want to come in and play, if he want to try to sit or he's demanding a trade, well, we're not trading him and we're just going to roll with him. If he decides to sit, like, I don't think you just say, all right, you sit a year out and I'll just call your bluff. I'll just wait on for you to come back. I don't think that's
too much
the
damage.
Right
too much damage can be done with that right there. So this is where we really
get. He'll never be right, even if he forces his way to come in just, you know, to be able to get paid.
Well, this is where the tide turns on Deshaun Watson, right? To me, is if Deshaun Watson doesn't make a statement and make it loud and clear by draft time, and he waits till after the draft to make it loud and clear that he doesn't want to be here, to where the Texans can't move him at that point for what they know would be a number two overall pick and what they know would be at least a portion of what they get in return in the 2021 draft, then that's a bad look for Deshaun. Right now, I've lost zero love for Deshaun. Deshaun Watson is doing exactly – if I had Deshaun Watson's talent,
you'd do it.
If I had his money, I would be doing exactly what Deshaun Watson is doing right now. I would handle this the way that Deshaun Watson is handling it right now, 100%. And probably not as well. I probably wouldn't use rap lyrics. My dumbass.
You come on out.
I'd probably have videos on Instagram or something.
Here, right here.
Yeah, I would not handle it well at all. And so at this point, I'm completely in Deshaun's corner. I understand where he's coming from, and I'm not worried about the negative publicity or the ripple effect of what may or may not be true that's going on. But now you mess around and put this franchise in a spot post draft, where then they
because that's got to be the deadline because you got to know you got to me you got to know you're getting a top five pick.
You got to,
like, you can't go into next year. It'd be nice with the Jets package, but I don't know if the Jets. I need to know right now.
You can't trade. You can't trade him in May or June to a team and be like be at say New York. And their next year's first round draft pick is dependent on their record next year. No, sir.
No, you got to know.
And at that point, to me, that's BS by Deshaun. That would be a really tough pill to swallow at that point. Is if he wants out and he's willing to knowingly put the organization in a really bad spot and dig the hole even deeper, then that's shame on Deshaun. That would be a bad look. That'd be hard to overcome for me. As much as I love Deshaun, that would be hard for me to overcome.
All right, listeners, Clint Sterner is sending a warning out to you. All right, no more of this. Clint is fired up. He needs this break so he don't cuss somebody out, I believe. But Clint is on fire. He is issuing out a warning. This will stop to all you listeners. That's next.
Playing these little piddly-ass games.
Sports Radio 610 presents Clint Sterner and the Show.
All right, Clint got up firing on Twitter today. One of the first things I saw, I woke up or I got to my phone, I had about 25 notifications on there because Clint had just teed off. And Clint was inspired by a caller. Clint's not having it anymore. Russ, who lost his mind earlier this week, by the way, Russ, we love you. Thank you so much for listening every day. Tell your friends, Russ. Call back again, baby, 713-5724-610. You did a beautiful job. But Russ left this insane call the other day, and I think it was a catalyst to Clint Sterner just making executive decisions on the show. Russ, do you believe that the owner, Kyle McNair, to smooth things over, to get things back on track, should apologize to Deshaun Watson?
Negative. I got a four-year quarterback with two knee injuries. We got a lot of money tied up in the dude. He needs to go. Shine him on. I'm done. He don't want to be here. I'm with Cal. I can get a lot of quarterbacks to run a system. I don't
Stop
need this
it,
guy
Russ.
Going to bounce
you
around.
He doesn't even get rid
of the ball.
Russ, you don't believe that. As you stand with Cal, you believe you can find any quarterback to run the – come on, man. You don't mean
what
that.
System?
I want you to start over and get serious. You're going to say you
what
can get any –
What system are we running? What system are we running?
Whatever system it is. You can't just grab people off the street at any quarterback to run a
to
system.
To take a sack or to throw an interception? What are you talking about?
What are you talking about? That's sorry. That was the catalyst for you, to hold the ball, huh? To hold the ball. What are you talking about?
That's great.
Well, this is not about.
It wasn't about Russ. I mean, he spurred the thought today. I'm not going to lie, but it's not. I wasn't directing it at him.
Not just Russ, but Russ-minded folks of the holding the ball thing. The holding the ball and getting himself sacked because he holds the ball too long. That one you're done with.
Zero doubt. Yeah, look, I'm done with the folks that when you discuss Deshaun Watson, part of the support for your opinion is he holds the ball too long and takes sacks. I mean, it's just not true. It's just there was a time that I was here with the station and I thought there was a lot of legitimacy to the opinion of, hey, Deshaun Watson holds the football too long. And what he's done over the last 6 months and how he developed over 16 weeks this season, it's blatantly obvious that that's not a problem of Deshaun Watson's any longer. And so I'm not opposed to somebody saying he got to go, trade the guy, do this, whatever. I don't care about that. Love
it's
him,
that
hate
particular
him.
One.
It doesn't matter to me, but that's ignorant. Like I don't mean ignorant as disrespect. I mean, it's ignorant of like not knowing. Like you clearly don't know and didn't watch what Deshaun did this year in a moment when he probably should have held the ball longer a lot of the times to try to create plays down the field because it was the only production the team had was through the quarterback. He didn't. He distributed the football at an extremely high level. He got rid of the football quickly. He threw the football accurately. He completed 70% of his passes. He led the league in passing. I mean, there's so many stats out there, which, again, I'm on record of saying this ain't the stat line that you want offensively to make runs at championships. However, that is a stat line that's very telling to what your quarterback's doing. And your quarterback has developed to a point where he distributes the football at an extremely high level, and he does it regardless of what kind of talent's around him. And so that argument no longer holds water. And so if that's where you're going to lean when you get into a heated exchange, I'm going to just reach over because his phone is between me and show. I'm going to reach over and hit that OX button and just move on about your business.
Yeah, Clint has said, he's tweeted this out, an executive decision that Clint Sterner has made. If you call into our show and shape your mouth to say Deshaun Watson holds the ball too long and takes sacks, your ass is getting hung up on.
That's it. That's pretty straight to the point, ain't it, boys?
So I'm just telling you what he said. Now he has access to this X button. I can't stop him.
Show's the one that typically hangs up on people that I want to have a conversation with. To this point, I haven't got handsy. and I hadn't touched the old hang-up button over.
So if somebody calls in, hey, how you doing, man? This is Bruce from Houston. Hey, I'm telling you, man, my issue, man, Deshaun, he's killing the offensive line. The offensive line is not that bad. The offensive line is not as bad as he is. He's holding.
That's what you're going to hear on the other end. That's what Bruce is going to hear.
He's holding the ball.
Bruce is going to be like, wait.
He's caused
what the
sack.
Hell happened?
The hell?
The hell happened to my phone?
He caused it. It's a, but you said it, but at least I just want to be clear. It was fair to have that assessment. It was fair before, but you're saying this year, after watching what he's done this year, that is a narrative that you believe should be stopped.
It's not true. It's false. So, yes, it's inaccurate. So, yes, absolutely. That is a narrative around Deshaun Watson that, as of before this season, I think was very valid and needed to be discussed. In fact, I remember John Lopez taking the stand of, yeah, he holds the ball, and I think he should do what Deshaun does, and he should continue to hold the ball. And I was like, no, John. I disagree with John. John and I had a disagreement on that of what he's doing is holding the football too long. He's not picking and choosing when he does it. He's holding it trying to make a play because nobody else around him's making a play, and it's a problem. It's a problem of his, and it hurts the offense. It puts the offense in a bad spot. So John and I had a disagreement a while back about him holding the football. And my opinion was he's got to learn to distribute the football and get rid of the ball. And so I've done a 180. And I think anybody watching the Texans this year that cares enough to call into our show and listen to our show on a daily basis, I think if you watch the games that closely, it's very obvious that he's made huge strides, and that narrative is no longer true. It's no longer a problem for the Texans.
He's certainly not consistent with it. Does he do it from time to time, trying to make a play? Yes, they all do. But it certainly there was an improvement from previous years.
There is zero chance you watch Deshaun Watson in a game or in the All-22 and you walk away from that, whether it's one game or 16 games in the 2020 season. And you walk away and you go, that damn Deshaun Watson, you can't win with him. He holds the damn ball and takes too many sacks. You could do that in 2019. You could do that in 2018. You can't do it right now. It's false. You can do whatever the hell you want to do, but I'm just telling you.
You're wrong.
You look like a fool because you're dead wrong. It's inaccurate.
You're getting hung up on if you call in here with that stance.
Yep, that's what you're going to hear right damn there, Bruce. T. Appreciate you finding that, T.
Damn, Bruce. All right, 713-572-4610. It's a Texans fan. We'll see the first person potentially get hung up on. Go ahead, since you refuse. I'm going to out you right now. Since you refuse to tell T. Sleazy your name, which is ridiculous. Stand behind it. So we're going to make one up for you, Demetrius. Go ahead, Demetrius. Start it off, Michi. What's your point?
It's going to be 100, but I've never called, so I'm trying to keep it cool.
Okay, Michi, go ahead.
So I have a serious issue with, I don't really understand what the issue is, and hear me out. So with regard to Jack Easterby, so you hear all this about, so I listened at Landry and McClain talk today, and Landry was adamant that since he's been here, there has been nothing but issues, which I agree and understand. But what has he actually done to piss all these people off to this point? I just don't understand it.
I don't mean to interrupt you, but have you read either of the Sports Illustrated articles?
I have not.
Okay, read those articles and know that a good chunk of it has been confirmed.
In Houston?
You got to take my word for it. The Sports Illustrated article that's read, it's been confirmed, meaning that somebody in the know has confirmed that a good chunk of what, just read it and you'll know. Hell, if I told you 5% of it was real, was true. You know, if you read it, you'll understand. You'll have a whole different understanding of what's going on.
I appreciate the call, Michi.
Well, then you hung up on Meech.
Oh, that was it. Was,
he
it
wasn't was done. I'd cut him off.
Oh, I thought he was done.
See?
Didn't everyone else think he was done? I thought he was done.
No, he didn't. See, you weren't listening. We got to work on them listeners.
I had gotten all over him. He came in. I mean, I'm sorry.
Man, hey, Meech, call back, man. That was
Meech call back, I guess. It was a trigger finger with the defending of Jack Easterby.
No, I don't think he was doing that. I mean, again, we took the time, we discussed it, and he can choose whether he wants to read that thing, but he wasn't done.
I thought he was done. Thought Michi was done. Sorry.
See, you had something against him from the get-go because you didn't put his real name on there.
Well, yeah, I did. I didn't like it, and we had to come up with a fake name.
You thought he was fixing to come out hard.
Hey,
you?
We got Meech back. We got Meech back.
My fault, Meechie.
Which line's he on? Sticky fingers over here.
I apologize. Here, you load him up. Sorry, Demetrius. Go ahead, Meechie. Go ahead. I thought you had another point. Go ahead. Come on now. Now jump in here because I don't want to have to hang up on you again. I got a quick trigger finger. He's just going out of here.
See what happens? When you treat people like that, that's what happens. You don't get a second chance.
Hell, that's all right.
Sometimes you don't get a second chance.
We'll be just all right. Once again, Meechie, we love you. We appreciate you listening first time.
The lines are lighting up in here, man.
The lines are lighting up. Well, do your job. See, now you got me just
See, now he's yelling at Tyler, man. Bad for the team.
This just got away from me.
Bad for the team approaching.
Clint Turner had the show. Here with you on Sports Radio 610. Can we dismiss somebody from this coaching search real quick?
Yeah, sure.
Can we end the Jim Caldwell dream?
No, Jim Caldwell is
You think he's still alive and
Jim Caldwell is the safety net for this football team right now.
Really?
Yep.
Because, see, I just can't see Jim Caldwell being the guy if he's not even interviewed with the GM yet. Like, when we hear what Jim Caldwell interviewed, he interviewed before Nick Caserio was hired. We've heard Nick Caserio interview guys. He could get the job without even being interviewed by Nick Caserio.
No, he would be interviewed. I just don't think there's no reason to hastily interview the guy and make that public at this point in time.
So they would hide.
He's not going anywhere. He's damn sure not going anywhere now because all the jobs have been filled, right? So there's really no reason to run out and hastily interview or hire Jim Caldwell. Here's the deal. You've got the Houston Texans are dialed in on one or two guys. It's either Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy. They're in the playoffs right now. You cannot hire them. Even if you announce that you've offered them and they accepted, they still have the ability. Nothing's official until they lose. Nothing can be official until they lose out of the playoffs. They are zeroed in on one of those two guys, and I believe the safety net, the fallback, if both of those guys say, no thanks, we'll go back to our organizations and try to win a Super Bowl, that fallback is Jim Caldwell.
Maybe if you explain it that way, like he is the absolute lowest at the end on the totem pole if we can't get whoever they're targeting. But I just.
Well, he doesn't have to be the lowest. I mean, they may be targeting Eric Bieniemy.
I'm just saying
they're going to fall back on Jim Caldwell. I'm saying one of the two. They're targeting one of the two, Leslie Frazier or Eric Bieniemy, and good gosh, I don't even think it's close. I think Eric Bieniemy is by far and away the better candidate there. So I would say Eric Bieniemy, and the fallback is either Leslie or Jim Caldwell is the way that I would kind of couch that. But right now, there's two possibilities that are still active in the playoffs.
I don't know why. I'm feeling nice. Jim Crane, he helped me feel better. Cal McNair is apologizing to people. Demetrius, this is it, all right? You got pressure here, Demetrius. Now, Tyler said you're here. I'm bringing you on now. Go ahead. I'll let you finish your thought. Go ahead, Meechie. Come on, Tyler.
I know what I can
Demetrius,
hear him breathing. I can hear him breathing.
He got his phone on mute or something.
Oh, my God.
He's
man.
Messy.
I've given him three chances.
Meechie, you there, bro?
I've given him. He's not there. Now he's trying to piss me off. That's what I believe he's trying to do. I've done it.
Hold on,
Joe. Good Lord, man. I tried. I've tried three times.
You tried. Hey, you know,
come on, man. I tried three times.
I greatly appreciate it.
He's calling back right now.
Not answering, Meechie.
Oh, no, I can't answer
text,
no more.
Text, no. I'm not doing it. Not doing it. That pissed me right off. Somebody else. Reggie, I like that name. Reggie, jump in. Go ahead, Reggie.
Yes, sir. Just quick question, man. I've been hearing a lot about Eric Bieniemy and Matt Leberflus. Here's my thing. If Bieniemy was such an offensive genius, why the hell has no one ever given him a job?
Wait, why do you think? Why do you think? I want to hear from you. Why do you
think? Well, because the last 2 years, this guy, I mean, all we're hearing is how he's an offensive genius. He's the leader that you need in a locker room. You know, he's the guy that's here to fix all the mess. But there's about six or seven teams that could use that leader, and no one seems to want him. But all we hear about is great things about the guy. What am I missing there, man?
I appreciate the call. There ain't any reasons that make sense that he hasn't gotten a job, because everything that you would put in front of him, there are things that you could blow out of the water. Just like today,
Nick Sirianni, who just became the head coach out of absolutely nowhere for the Philadelphia Eagles, hasn't called a damn play either, and that is something that is pushed towards Eric Bieniemy. Eric Bieniemy is supposedly rough around the edges, and that concerns people. Well, Dan Campbell is talking about eating people's kneecaps today, and now, I mean, there's no logical thing that makes sense. Now, we could try to pick it apart and act like it doesn't make sense. Andy Reid has vouched for him. He comes from a good tree. The guys that have been coaches ahead of him and did the same thing that he did prior to him have been successful. There ain't a logical one that makes sense, right? Now the one thing that'll piss me off is we try to start spinning things around on Eric Bieniemy and acting like because some of these idiot franchises won't hire him is because of something that he's all of a sudden done. He is a really good coach in this league and has been part of the best offense in the last 5 years. There is nothing on his resume that doesn't scream he should be a head coach. No one with his resume has never been given a chance to be a head coach. So, hell, I'm fresh out. None of the excuses that are made for him make sense. You tell me, Reg. I don't know. I mean, it doesn't make sense. He should be a head coach in this league. He should be. And everything that you said is true about him. He should be a head coach in this league. Sorry.
That's well said. It's well said. That was very well said. I don't disagree.
There's no logical excuse.
I don't know. I'm sure there's some guys out there that have had to wait to get a head coach job a long period of time. I'm sure that there's, you know, the Kansas City playing deep into the playoffs and being their entire coaching staff being missing the first month of the head coach hiring window plays into it in some way, shape, or form. But those aren't excuses. Those aren't reason enough why seven organizations have openings and a guy like Eric Bieniemy doesn't get hired at some point in time. I don't even know how many. I need to go back and see how many jobs were open last year.
He's had he's had between 15 and 17 interviews in the last 3 years.
Yeah, I mean, so there's no legitimate excuse to why this guy shouldn't be a head coach. There's some things that I think impact the hiring process of a head coach that work against Eric Bieniemy. And when you're working for a franchise that runs deep into the playoffs, goes to the Super Bowl every year, but that's not an excuse or a reason why the guy shouldn't get an opportunity to be a head coach.
From the text line, how's Nagy and Peterson working out for you, show? Doug Peterson won the damn Super Bowl in his second year. What the hell are you talking about? He's been to the playoffs 3 out of the 5 years he's there. Nagy.
What are you talking about?
Nagy with Mitch Trubisky has been to the playoffs twice in the same division as Aaron Rodgers. This isn't Matt Patricia who won 5 games in 4 years. Stop.
Well, that's a great response, but it's, again, it's like those guys are non-factors. You know, I mean, to me, there's definitely obviously that they've had success, but it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. You put a guy as an offensive coordinator for multiple years on the hottest team in football, doing things that are on the cutting edge of football, and he's definitely been an integral part of what's going on in Kansas City. And then you flip the script and a guy like Dan Campbell, I played with Dan Campbell. I think Dan Campbell's got head coach written all over. In fact, I think Dan Campbell and Eric Bieniemy are cut from the same cloth. I think they're former players, rough around the edges. They're not going to articulate things well. They're not going to impress all the suits. But you know who they are going to impress and who they are going to rally and who they are going to blend with well? The locker room. And so that's you know, Dan Campbell never called a play.
Coordinator.
That's just – there's a lot of BS excuses out there around Eric Bieniemy. And I'm not saying that some teams haven't been justified in why they've passed on Eric Bieniemy. I'm sure there's some of them out there that have. But ultimately, this guy should be a head coach in this league. And damn it, I hope it's right here in Houston. And I hope we hear as soon as Kansas City loses out.
Me too. All right, coming up, the latest top of the hour, the latest on who the Texans are looking at as their next head coach and any update going on there. That's coming up next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
O'Reilly Auto Parts.